We're going to continue our study through the book of Joshua. We are in Joshua chapter 1. So if you would please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. How's everyone doing tonight? Good? Awesome. It's good to see all of you and it's good to be together. And I'm excited about what God has for us. While you're turning there, I want to invite you to just listen as I pray, and when you're ready, you can join me. Father, we thank you so much for your love and mercy and grace. We thank you for your word. It's holy. It's pure. It gives wisdom to the simple. It always strengthens those who are just feeling weak. And we are so grateful, God, that your word infuses faith in us. It encourages and it inspires us to trust you and to walk in your word. We thank you that your word is perfect in restoring our souls, and it brings comfort to the hurting heart. We thank you that your word is alive and it's powerful, and that every time we open it and study it, you speak. We thank you, God, that you are speaking. You're going to speak to us tonight through your word. And Lord, we pray that you would minister to us right where we're at. We need you. Some of us need a fresh filling. Some of us need just an encouraging word. Some of us need a word of direction, a confirmation. And so, God, I ask that as we study your word together, that you would meet every need here. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your wonderful love and your graciousness to us. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse 10 of Joshua chapter 1. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land for which the Lord your God is given you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Hey, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on the side of the Jordan,'" or on this side of the Jordan, which would be the east side of the Jordan. "But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise." So they answered Joshua, saying, "All that you commanded us, we will do, and whatever you send us, or wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." There's no doubt that Joshua was so blessed when he heard the response of the people, the response of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. As a leader, to have the kind of support, or that kind of support, is extremely important. Now, I don't know if you remember, but in the book of, Exodus, or maybe it was the book of Numbers, but there was a time when, years and years earlier, these Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they had made a deal with Moses. They didn't want to cross over the Jordan. They were a people that had a lot of livestock, and the land that was on the east side of the Jordan, they saw that it was very, very beneficial for all of their livestock. And so they had spoken with Moses, and they had said, hey, you know, we want this land here. We don't want to cross over into the land of Canaan. We want to stay on this side of the Jordan. And at first, Moses wasn't sure of their motive. And only time would tell if they would follow through. And this is the principle that I want to draw out of these verses, the principle of following through with your commitments. And so now the time had come when they were going to need, or they were going to need to follow through on the commitment that they made. The agreement was that, yes, they could stay there. They could stay in that land, and that would be their inheritance. But once the time came for them to cross over the Jordan, and the rest of the tribes of Israel were to go into the Promised Land, they would have to leave their wives, their kids, their livestock, and go. Their armies would have to go and fight until all of the people, the rest of the tribes, took the lands, they conquered their areas and became inhabitants of that land, and then they had their rest, and then they could go back. And here comes a time when Joshua reminds them, hey, remember what you said. Remember, you made an agreement with Moses, and now it's time for you to be faithful and follow through with your commitment. And what a beautiful response. What a beautiful response. Basically, hey, Joshua, we are with you 100%. And just the same way that we served Moses, and we were respectful to Moses, and we gave heed to Moses' leadership, that same kind of commitment and dedication we're going to show you. And so Joshua is blessed, and the people fulfilled their word to Moses and their word to Joshua. So that brings up a principle. It's a principle of being a people of commitment. You know, God has called his people to be people of commitment. And when we make commitments, you know, there are certain things that are necessary for us to follow through with. And here they were called to follow through, and they did it. And they did it with a right heart. They did it wholeheartedly. And what a blessing. And I wonder how many of you have made commitments, maybe even recently, and you've been challenged to follow through with your commitment. And now that the challenge is coming, you're kind of reconsidering. And you're thinking, well, maybe I was too zealous, and maybe it's time for me to back out or back away. You know, that wouldn't be a good thing if it was a commitment that you made to Christ, to serving Christ and to being faithful to the work of Christ. Not to say that anything you commit to is a lifelong sentence, but one thing is certain. Jesus, he's committed himself to you. He's committed himself to me. He's given himself completely. And there are certain things, not everything we commit to is of the Lord, but there are certain things that deep down inside we know it's the Lord. We know it's the Lord. And maybe you're at that point right now where you're being called to follow through. And so I want to encourage you, make sure that you are faithful and you follow through. And whoever the leaders are, maybe it's in the church, maybe it's in the children's ministry or in some other ministry of the church, maybe it's in the parking ministry or the security ministry. You made a commitment, or the worship team, or ushers or greeters. You made a commitment. There was a commitment that you made, or maybe Euchre night. I know you guys won't miss Euchre night. Little shameless plug, this Friday, Euchre night, Saturday, We have a worship night. Remember the first time you heard it and you said, yes, I'm going to go. I'm committed to that, Lord. Now you're thinking, I don't know. It's supposed to be, it's going to be raining out. So there's a good reason for you to come. But no, I do want to encourage you to come out Friday night and Saturday night. We're going to have a blessed time. I can't wait. But going back to our point, perhaps there's something that, you know, it's the Lord. And as I said earlier, it's time to follow through. It's time to be faithful to your word. Remember what Jesus said, let your yes be yes. And we are called to be people that are faithful to follow through with our commitments. Now, moving on into chapter 2, a fascinating chapter. We move from following through to seeing a person of faith. It's pretty wonderful if you consider this account. And the account is about a woman, Rahab, and she is perhaps maybe an unlikely character when you find out that she is a harlot. And what I mean is an unlikely character to be used by God. But it's fascinating how God will use anybody, no matter what the past is. And sometimes the people we might look at and think, God would never use a person like that. Look at them. You could be very, very wrong. And that's why it's important to not be too quick to judge other people. Now, I'm not saying throw discernment out the window, but you got to be careful because sometimes we can be too quick to judge. And God uses, he'll use anybody. Anybody. No matter what stained past a person has. When a person turns to Christ or turns to God by faith, God is looking for people to just trust him. He has no problem forgiving people who are sorry and taking people out of the worst of lifestyles and transforming their lives and taking them and making them extremely valuable for his causes. And, you know, you I'm sure, can agree, some of us here, we could think of our own past, our own stained past. If we were all to just start sharing our testimonies and some of the things that we've done and the background that we came from, I guarantee that all of us have things that just that are shameful. All of us have things that are shameful of our past. And so it's such a blessing to have mercy and to experience the mercy of God. And Rahab, she experienced the mercy of God. And mercy is wonderful. Mercy is beautiful. The mercy of God, there's nothing like it. And when he blesses us, when we don't deserve his mercy, and yet we say, God, I'm sorry. God, have mercy on me. Or God, you know, I lived my life for myself, but now I've heard the testimony of you. I've heard about you. And this testimony that I've heard of you is having an impact on my heart. And I believe your word. I believe your word. I want to do what's right in your sight. And God says, man, I can use you. But God says, first, I forgive you. I love you. And I can use you. Maybe the world sees you as useless, but I see you as useful. And so we get introduced to Rahab. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Achaia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now, we're going to talk about Rahab, but I just want to point out something. Where do you think Joshua got the idea of sending out spies? And we can all say, yes, it was the Lord. But You remember when Moses sent out the 12 spies? Now, I can't help but think about that. Now, 12 spies went out. This was about 40 years earlier. Now, they could have went into the promised land. But the problem that they had was a lack of faith. And that lack of faith caused it where that whole generation had to die out. And only Joshua and Caleb, and then anyone that was younger, I think it was, 20 and younger, were able to enter in. Anyone who was 20 and over, rather, couldn't enter in. And they had to die off a whole generation, 40 years, because they were afraid. But it blesses me, this is just a little leadership, principle. Joshua took different examples from Moses, and he included them in his ministry or in his leadership. You know, sometimes there's that idea of the new generation casting the old generation off, so to speak. Ah, they're the old generation. What do they know? They don't know nothing. But, you know, good, godly individuals, they look up to their leaders, and they glean from their leaders. And they also take good examples, and they incorporate them in their leadership style. And they use them because they work. Now, in this case, he only sent out two. Now, this is not fault of Moses. Moses had all the faith. When he sent out the 12, 10 of them came back with bad reports, and they influenced everyone in a negative way. And I'm not saying that that Joshua thought, well, he sent out too many guys, so I'm only going to send out two. Now I'm just saying he used the same kind of idea, principle, but he did it differently. But I'm sure he got that from Moses. Now, Joshua, that is to send out the spies. Now, Joshua is fascinating because he only sent out two. Now, I look at it and I think, you know, sometimes all you need is a couple faithful people. All you need is a couple faithful people that'll just do what you ask them to do and not give you a hard time. You know, Moses had 12 guys, and 10 of them came back and ruined everything. There's another little principle. You know, we have this idea, you often hear people say majority rules. Not in the kingdom of God, not necessarily. I think so often that's more of a worldly idea and principle. Majority doesn't always rule. You know, the only two guys that came back and were faithful, they were the two guys that made it to cross over. And it was Joshua and Caleb. And now Joshua is one of the leaders. Well, he is the leader now. And he's got two men, two guys, that he just asked to go do something, and they do it. And they're risking their life. But they're not risking their life for Joshua. Really, they're looking at the bigger picture. And that's how leaders view ministry. You know, immature people view ministry, and they see men. They see and put people on pedestals. They see how ministry affects them. That to me, I call it the small mind mentality. The small mind mentality is how things affect me. And all of us start there. I got to believe all of us start there. But as we mature and we grow, we say, you know what? There's a bigger picture here. And really, this is God's work. And although I might see on the surface a Joshua, there's a God that's leading Joshua, and there's a much bigger plan here. And so I want to be faithful to God. I'm going to serve Joshua, but I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And that's the bigger picture mentality. And I would to God that all of us would have the bigger picture mentality. And not only have the bigger picture mentality, but encourage the bigger picture mentality. You know, sometimes we don't understand all the details about what happens. Why did Joshua only send two? And I could think, maybe some of the other folks thought, why just two? Why not me? Why can't I go? Why am I not as good as these two guys? I can go. And all of those little things that, you know, the human nature and the little bickering that can take place. But the good thing is you don't see any of that here. The potential is always there, but you don't see any of that here. You just see a couple guys that say, hey, I'm willing to go. And they see the big picture, and I'm sure everyone else sees the big picture. You remember the verses before, the group, there was all these tribes that were saying, hey, we will follow you, whatever you say, we'll do it. Wherever you lead us, we'll go. And, all right, I need two guys, I'm here. And they went. Anyway, just a few little lessons in leadership. For those of you who are not interested in leadership, that probably just went past you. But any of you who are interested in leadership, you think, hopefully that'll stick with you. It'll stick with you. Number one, majority doesn't always rule. And you don't need a lot of people on your team. All you need is a few faithful ones. If you got a few faithful people on your team and the Lord is with you, there's nothing you can't do. So when you go into that children's church and it's just you and one other person and everybody else japped out and you got 30 kids, you say, hey, it's just me and you. We're the two faithful ones. We're not putting them down, but God has called us to be here and to serve. Or if it's just one guitar and one vocalist, hey, we're the two. Or the two guys in the sound booth. The unforgotten saints that always serve so faithfully. Thank them next time you see them after service. Thank them. You get the point. So here, these two spies, they go to Jericho. And they ended up going to a harlot's house named Rahab. And they lodged there. They stayed there with a harlot. Now, to me, that kind of makes sense, you know, because a harlot would probably just take in anybody, not ask too many questions, and a place to lodge, and maybe because guys were going in and out. Who knows? I don't know all the details, but it was it worked out that way. But I'll tell you, the bigger picture, there was a woman here who was a Gentile that God knew needed salvation. And the bigger picture is, you know, we see the surface, but God sees way beyond the surface. He sees into the hearts of people. And God had a plan for Rahab. God had the bigger plan for the nation of Israel, but in that plan, he included one Gentile woman that would be saved. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it was her faith. She was what we could say, a woman of shame who ended up in the hall of fame. Because her past was shameful, yes, but then she came to know God and her life changed. And she became, in Hebrews chapter 11, mentioned in the book of, or in that chapter, which is often known as the hall of fame or the hall of faith. And it was this woman's faith. She believed in the testimony of God that caused her to act in such a way that went against the world, that went against the world system and the world power, put her own life at risk to get behind God's plan. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, anyone who gets behind God's plan never loses. You want to get your life straight? And I look at all of you and I would say, I have to say all of your lives are straight. So tell this to one of your co-workers tomorrow. You want to get your life straight? Get behind God's plan. You get behind God's plan, you see how God will save you and how your life works out. And so God had a plan for this woman. And these men, they stayed there. And we're going to see the testimony that she had heard and she had come to believe. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to them. Now we're going to see why she did what she did. You know, here, on the surface, you might condemn her for lying. I don't see it that way. Some people might look at this and say, "What is she? You know, she's a liar, and how could God use her?" You know, God doesn't condone lying, that's for sure. But there was a bigger picture here. And she's going to reveal to us why she did what she did. And here it is in verse 9, she says, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." So, first thing she tells us is that she's a believer. Something happened. She's come to believe in the testimony that she heard of the Lord. At what point? We don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. But she gives us some history. And she starts to reveal that when God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt some 40 years earlier, they had heard all that the Lord God had done to the Egyptians. And when they heard that they were going to the land of Canaan to take possession of the land that God had promised them, they were gripped with fear, even way back then. Now, isn't it sad that when that happened, the people were filled with fear, and yet the children of Israel were filled with fear, not knowing that God was working on the other side? You know, it's so foolish when God is leading us. It's so foolish for us to be afraid because we don't know, we don't see what's going on the other side. And sometimes we let fear get in the way and hinder us from acting in faith. That's what the other 10 spies did 40 years earlier. And that set them back 40 years because of their fear. And yet, she's going to give this testimony that the people way back then were afraid. See, God was working on this end, and that's the thing that we have to remember. When God calls us to walk into the unknown, when God challenges us to do something that causes us to be afraid, we have to believe that if God is calling us, if it is truly God, then He is also working on the other side and getting exactly where He's calling us. He's getting that prepared for us. But sometimes people, they let all the what ifs and the things that they can see, the natural things, cause them to be afraid from moving forward in faith. And so this group of people, that is that older group, that generation, died off. And it held them back for 40 years. But now, these guys, they're ready to go in. They're not going to let anything hold them back. They've heard the voice of the Lord, and they're going to be faithful, and they're going in to conquer the land that God had given them. And this woman, she says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. They knew it. The word was out. This is God's land, and he's giving it to his people. And in verse 10, he says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the river or the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So, wow, what a wonderful testimony. Now, we can speculate, and all I can do is share with you my thoughts. And obviously, we won't know until we get into heaven. But based on her testimony, there could have been a long time where Rahab, even though she's identified as a harlot, and sometimes it's important to understand that some of our past will stick with us for the rest of our lives. There's consequences. Even though we're changed, there's still certain things that'll stick with us. And that's why it's so important to not do things that can be so long-term, can have such long-term effect. Because even after you repent, there's still certain things that are connected to you. But, even if that is the case, because let's face it, none of us are perfect. All of us have stains. All of us have a past. But even if that's the case, we have done things that are going to affect us lifelong. It doesn't mean that God can't use us if our hearts are changed and towards him. God can use you. And even though you might have some folks that will always see you as a harlot, not you specifically, but will always identify you as the harlot, in their minds, you're the harlot. In many other people's minds, you're the woman of faith. You're the person who believes the testimony of God. And that's the past. And there'll be many people who say, hey, you know, yeah, you might have a past, but that's not the way we view you anymore. We don't view you by your past. We view you by your faith in Christ and what God has done in your life. That's how we see you. And you know, it's so funny because in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews calls her a harlot. The book of James calls her the prostitute or a harlot. But Rahab was in Jesus' genealogy. And in Matthew chapter 1, I believe in verse 5, it just calls her Rahab. Doesn't call her harlot. You don't see, at least I don't remember reading harlot. I could be wrong, but I thought it was just Rahab. Because that's the way God sees her. It's just Rahab, his daughter. She was in the lineage of Jesus. And what an amazing thing that this Gentile was in the lineage of Jesus. And this is how God transforms people's lives. And God transforms my life. He transformed my life. He transformed your life. And so she heard this wonderful testimony. And I believe that at some point, she had a change of heart. Maybe she was still known as the harlot in the community, but she had had a change of heart. And with those guys, that time came. See, God was preparing her. And when those two spies came, that was her time. And her time to act on her faith, to really act. And she put her life at risk. You know, because she saw the greater authority. Now, when it comes to what she said, hey, I don't know who they were. They did come here, and they left. I don't know where they've gone. Maybe you can catch up with them. You know, I look at that, and my perspective on that is if I was home with my wife, And let's say my kids were upstairs sleeping and somebody broke in and I was downstairs and they said, is there anyone else in the house? I would say, no, I'm just here by myself. Why? To protect my wife and my kids. I wouldn't say, yeah, my wife's upstairs. And my two kids are, you know, they're upstairs in their bedrooms. I'd say, no, no one's here. It's just me. And I try to get them out of the house, even if I have to lose my own life to protect their lives. And here, she's thinking about God's plan. And so I don't see, really, for me, the Bible, in both cases, that is Hebrews and James, says it was her faith that caused her to do what she did. Her motive was right. Her motive was good. It wasn't evil. It was good. And, you know, maybe she went about it the wrong way, some might argue. But God looks at the heart. And the motive was right. Her motive was right. That's what the scriptures tell us again in the New Testament. And so here she has this beautiful testimony. She says, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, this is verse 12, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. So here she's not only fighting for she's not only saying, hey, I believe in the Lord, your God is the true God, and I trust in your God above my own people, and not only do I trust in your God, I'm also asking that you would spare my family because of what I've done for you, and I've done this. Basically, she did it by faith. That's what the New Testament tells us, faith in God. I've protected you, and so I'm asking that you protect me. And they say, hey, you protected us, you saved our lives, and we'll save your lives. And so now it tells us in verse 15, then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterwards, you may go your way. And so the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the door of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be far from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the sacred, or rather, scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Now, going back to the woman and the spy's deal, it's interesting because I couldn't help but think of the scarlet cord that was to be kind of the indicator of where they lived. And if they saw that scarlet rope, so to speak, then they would just pass over, so to speak, her house. You know, and I couldn't help but to think about the Passover and how when God was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know, he told them to put some blood over the doorpost of their home, and the angel of death, when he come, he would pass over, and anyone who was in the house would be saved. And you can't help but think of the blood and then the scarlet rope, and you can't help but think of the blood of Christ and how the blood of Christ saves, and it cleanses us, it washes us. But here, you know, there's that kind of a type of how, in a sense, they were following not the exact pattern, but they were following something very similar. And they were following previous leadership styles, so to speak. But it was that scarlet rope that was salvation for them and for her family. And it was the blood of Christ that was salvation for us, that's been applied to our house, so to speak, in the Spirit. The blood of Christ that washes us white as snow. Now, moving forward, what a beautiful testimony from the two men. It must have blessed Joshua's heart. When those guys came back and they said, hey, the people there are faint-hearted because of us. And truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. And it's so wonderful. Joshua must have been so encouraged to have just a couple guys that were so faithful. He just gave them some very specific commands. God already had a person that they were going to connect with. This was a setup by God. That's why, again, I say never underestimate when you run into certain people. You never know what God might want to do and how God might want to use you in their lives and even use them in your life. But here, this setup took place. God had that all orchestrated so that she can give all of this information to them. And when they had this conversation, they got all this information, and they were able to go back, these spies, and tell Joshua, listen, it's truly the Lord, man. Joshua, this is the Lord. He's given us this land. Let's move. Let's move forward. And it's so good as a leader to have men, and I'm grateful for the leaders in this church that recognize that God is truly, Jesus is truly the chief shepherd of this flock. It's not Dave Crespo. It's Jesus. He is the chief shepherd of the flock. And it's great to have men that can see the bigger picture, see that the Lord is working and can, you know, get behind the work of God. And just like Joshua had men that saw God's hand in his life, and these men were there and they supported him, it's so important for churches and for a church to have men that can see the vision and the leadership that is being that God is using to you know, lead his church, and to have the people that are there to say, hey, I'm there, I'm here, I am with you. And you know, I see God's hand on your life, and I see God's hand on the leadership team, and I'm here to support you. I'm here to help. I'm here to be one of those encouragers, one of those folks that say, yes, it is the Lord. We see it. We see God's hand in this place. We see God's Spirit in this place. And I want to encourage you, be those kinds of people. I would never encourage you to do anything that goes against God's will. Everything that Joshua was encouraging the leaders to do was always God's will. I would never I don't want to practice anything that's outside of God's will, and I would never encourage any of you to do anything outside of God's will. But in the things that you hear and you know, you can say, yes, that is in the Word of God. Be quick to do those things that are Lord-led. And I guarantee the more of a community of men and women that are dedicated to doing God's will, God's way, just the stronger the church is. And if you want to be in a strong church, then you have to be a person that's committed to God's will yourself. And so I encourage you, continue to be those men and women that are sold out for Jesus, that are able to yield to the leadership of God, and be faithful to your commitments. Follow through, be people of faith, and you'll never go wrong. Never. In 20 years, you'll look back and you'll say, you know what? God has preserved me. God has preserved me. There's been so many people that, unfortunately, that I know that no longer are even walking with the Lord, or their lives are in shambles. Not to say that God can't use them if they change or repent, but it's sad to see when people who profess Christ are no longer walking with the Lord because they didn't stay faithful. They put their eyes on men and took their eyes off of the bigger picture. And I want to encourage you, and I encourage myself, let's not make those kinds of mistakes. Let's keep our eyes on Christ and on the will of God as we study the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace and love and kindness. We thank you that as long as we're in the center of your will, everything is well. We thank you that you are so perfect and that anything that you say, anything that you lead us to do, is always the right thing. No matter how challenging it might be for us, in the end, we'll always look back and confess that truly, God, your way is the right way. And Lord, we also know that the things that you lead us to, you're already working on the other side. We might not see that, but by faith we believe that you work on the other side as well, preparing the place that you're leading us to. And your commandments are our enablements. You enable us to do your will through your word. And so we thank you for this time that we can study your word. And I pray, God, that you continue to pour out your blessings over your people as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.